Mark chapter 12. The Bible says in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, actually we'll start in verse 29, Mark 12, 29, and Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Christ was quoting from Deuteronomy. Let's turn back over to Deuteronomy chapter 6, where he was restating what was said, what was given in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Let's pray before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come tonight and see a little progress report on what is being done here through our school. We thank you for the opportunity to have a school where we can help parents teach and rear their children for you. We pray that as we've come together tonight, you'd be honored and glorified through what's done. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts and challenge and encourage us through the message that we'll speak at this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we see a foundational passage for the idea of Christian education. It says there in verse 6, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Now, teaching diligently unto our children goes into so many different aspects of our lives, and those are listed here. He says, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. If you think about the home of the people who received this message, you would, and then think about all the different ways right here that they were told to teach their children, basically, God left nothing out of the picture. They didn't have televisions back then. They didn't have cars, so it wasn't like you would talk about the Lord as you drove down the highway. You'd talk about the Lord as you walked down the way. As you sat around the house, you'd look on the walls of the house, and there would be the scriptures. There would be the things that we were supposed to teach our children. There on the post of the house. And on the gate, even before you came into the house, would be the Lord's law. And what is it that we were supposed to teach was the first commandment. Well, Jesus said this is the first commandment, and this is not a chronological title to the commandment. There were many commandments given to Israel before this commandment. We think of the Ten Commandments. Well, that's in Exodus. That was long before Deuteronomy. But in Deuteronomy it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." And when Jesus was asked, what is the first commandment? He wasn't asked, what was the first law given to Israel? He was asked, what is the most important commandment? What's the one that's first to be kept? If I don't keep any other commandment, what's the one that I should keep? And Jesus answered and said in Mark 12:30, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So I want to just look at these areas that Jesus said is the first commandment. What is the most important thing for us to teach our children? Because in Deuteronomy, when this commandment was given, the very next thing told to us to do was to teach this to our children. So as parents, what should we teach our children? We should teach our children to love the Lord with their heart, with their soul, with their mind, and with their strength. I'm going to try quickly to just go through these four areas. If you think about it, this kind of covers all the basics of life. And just quickly look at some ways, definitely not exhaustive, but some ways that we can understand ourselves how to love the Lord with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and how we can what we ought to teach our children about how they ought to love the Lord with their heart, mind, soul, and strength. When I think of our heart, I think that the heart in the Bible speaks of the spiritual aspect of mankind. It speaks of our attitude. Actually, it speaks of and refers to the total being of mankind. There are hundreds of references, hundreds of times in the Bible that the word heart is used. I'm just going to use a couple or look at a couple. Let's turn to Genesis 24. This is just a conversation that Eliezer was having. But he uses the word heart in a way that we'd see over and over in Scripture. Genesis 24, verse 45. He says, And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. I'm not going to get into the story here, but we know that Eliezer was there praying to God. And he said, Before I was done speaking in my heart. It was a spiritual thing. Our heart is the spiritual aspect of us, and it's related to our attitude. The Bible also says a very well-known verse referring to our heart is Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So if we're to love the Lord with our heart, we should love Him spiritually. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time here because this is where, when we think of loving the Lord, this is almost what we always think of immediately. When we say, I need to love the Lord more, almost always we're thinking of loving Him with our heart, loving Him spiritually. But there are other aspects that God said we're to love Him with. The heart, though, is an overruling aspect. It covers the whole area of mankind. It has to do with our attitude, our total being, and the spiritual. The next area that Jesus said is that we're to love the Lord with our soul. Now, the soul, to me, if the heart is spiritual, the soul is earthly. I would say worldly, but that would give you the wrong connotation. It is worldly in the sense that our soul is what makes us comfortable in the world around us. Our soul is what helps us enjoy our house. Our soul is what helps us enjoy being around other people. But worldly kind of gives the sense that the soul is bad. And soul is not bad. But the soul is earthly. The soul is what makes us not want to die and leave the earth. Our soul is earthly. Our soul, though, is to love the Lord completely also. We're to love the Lord with all of our heart and all of our soul. The soul is what causes us to be drawn to worldly allurements, the entertainment of the world, the things of the world. And so the Bible speaks about those things and tells us in 1 John 2:15-17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So you see, that verse is speaking to us spiritually, but particularly it speaks to our soul. The part of us that enjoys this world and the things of this world, we're not to love those things. What are we to love? We're to love God. We're to love God with all of our soul, not just spiritually. We're not to just love God when we come to church or when we sit in Sunday school. And this is where I'm saying you can use this for yourself, but to teach your children. We're not to just love God when we sit around the table for family devotions. We're to love God when we go shopping. We're to love God when we're at the mall. We're to love God when we say, oh, I wish I could really have that thing. Or we're to love God when we say, I really wish I could do such and such. Man, I wish rather the things of the worldly entertainments and worldly things are what draws our soul away from God. And we're to love God with our soul. We're not to be conformed to this world. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In John 17, verse 15, John 17, verse 15, the Bible says, that was 15, 17. 17, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Jesus was praying on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he makes a statement there. He says, I pray that you don't take them out of the world. He's talking about us. He's talking about us who are supposed to love him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And he says, don't take them out of the world, just keep them from the evil. So we are in the world. We have to function in the world. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and 10 speak the same way. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10 say, yet, 9 says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. And so he's making the point that it's obvious that we're not supposed to be isolationists, we're not supposed to somehow leave the world completely, we have to live in the world. But we're to keep ourselves from the evil. Jesus prayed that we would be kept from the evil. We're not to be conformed to the world. We're not to love the world. We're to love the Lord with all of our soul. And this is an area in our lives that we need to work on with our children, because we need to work on it with ourselves. Because we all like the things that we like, the internet. We like the convenience of it, and we like the worldly pleasures that are there. We like television. We like sports. We like things. We have to have the latest gadgets. And these are all things that draw us to the world. They're not things that are necessarily wrong. But if we love those things more than we love the Lord, we're disobeying not just a commandment. We're disobeying the first commandment, the most important commandment. So we see that we're to love the Lord with our heart and with our soul. Now, because this area is external, sometimes some people put a lot of effort into looking like they don't love the world. They would never watch television. They would never have a television in their home, but they wish they could. They would never do such and such, but they wish they could. They do these things to make themselves look like they're separate from the world, but they do them only to please man. And that's where we have to remember that loving the Lord with our heart is an overruling, overguiding principle. The attitude, our heart, our spirit, is the total being and is the whole part of us. And so if our attitude in loving, in separating and not loving the world is just so that we can please other men or just so that we can look good, then we're not loving God with our heart. We could say, well, I love the Lord. Look what I've given up for the Lord. Look how I stay away from the world for the Lord. But if you're just doing it so you can please men, you don't love the Lord with your heart. So we're to love the Lord with our heart and with our soul. And then, what you all thought I was going to spend a lot of time on was loving the Lord with your mind. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. In another place, he says, with your understanding. If we're to love God with our minds, that means a few things. And this is not, there could mean many other things, but it includes thinking Christianly. I kind of made that word up. But what that means is to think like a Christian thinks about everything. About everything. Think like a Christian thinks about science. Think like a Christian thinks about mathematics. Think like a Christian thinks about economics. Think like a Christian thinks about literature. think like a Christian thinks about anything, about everything, anything intellectual. Okay? We have our heart, spiritual. We have the soul, earthly. We have our mind, intellectual. Anything with our minds, we're to love the Lord with our minds. And that would mean thinking Christianly, thinking like a Christian does. That's why it's important that you provide Christian education for your children. It's important that you have it because the world doesn't know how to think Christianly about anything. The world denies that you need to think Christian. The world thinks that you can think neither way about everything. Right? They claim that education can be neutral. You don't have to believe one way or the other. Well, that's foolish to if you really think about it. But it's important that we provide Christian education for our children so that they can be taught how to think Christianly. And your children, as you teach them this verse, ought to be taught to honor God with their minds. How do they do that? They strive to get good grades. Good grades isn't just so that they can say, you know, sit in the front of the class or sit in the back of the class or however the teacher uses the front and the back of the class to push and prod the students to do good. Honoring God with their grades is loving God with their mind. It's loving God with their mind. And so we ought to push them. We ought to encourage them and help them honor God with their minds and with their grades. Now, here again, some people might say, I want to get good grades. I got to get good grades. I got to get a good grade on this quiz. I got to get a good grade because Mrs. So-and-so would be so disappointed if I didn't get a good grade. Or because Dad would be so upset. If I get another D, he said I'm going to get a spanking. Whatever. Is that why we work for good grades? No. Here again, we can honor God, or we can look like we're loving God. We can talk like we love God with our minds. We can work to get good grades, and yet be doing it for all the wrong reasons. That shows the wrong attitude, which brings us all the way back to loving God with our heart. The heart and the attitude, loving God with our heart, overrules all these other areas. Then the last area is loving God with our strength. And this is what? Physical. We ought to teach our like all these worker bees up here, we ought to teach our children, and we ought to learn ourselves to honor God with our strength, with our physical being. Not just our minds, not just the earthly part of us, not just our... If somebody says, you know, I'm spiritual, but they can't work, they're not spiritual. If somebody says, look at how asceticism, they've cut themselves off from the world. I'm a monk. You know, I'm a hermit. But I don't work. That doesn't mean that they're spiritual. That doesn't mean that the commandment includes all of these areas. And so we're to teach our children to work and to enjoy work. 1 Chronicles 16:28, and there are many passages that talk about work and talk about strength. 1 Chronicles 16:28, though, is just one that I've picked out for tonight. Says 16:28 says, "Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people." Give unto the Lord glory and strength. We're to give the Lord strength. How do we give strength? We work for the Lord. Now, in Colossians 3, this is probably a much more familiar passage, and there's a parallel passage in Ephesians, but in Colossians 3:22, Paul, writing to the church there, says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh." And then he gives a principle. "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." You know, if your children, you give them a job and they walk away and they are sulking, they're sinning. They're not loving God with their strength. If they feel like you never do anything and they do everything. Now we know what the truth is. But if they have the attitude that all I ever do around the house is work, and mom, she just sits in the room and writes on paper or whatever, that's wrong. That's sin. You haven't taught them that there's joy in service. You haven't taught them that there's joy in work. You know, we were created to work. When God created Adam and Eve, He gave Adam so much work, He had to make him a helper. He gave him Eve to help him with all the work. And Adam wasn't complaining about it. In fact, he talked with God in the cool of every day about what he was doing. When we get to heaven, guess what we're going to do? We're going to be working. It wouldn't be happy. We wouldn't be happy if we weren't working. And so work is something we should learn and teach our children to work cheerfully. And teach them that there's joy in accomplishment. There's joy in serving. And so we need to teach them to work. Here again, a child can work and look like they're enjoying themselves and be doing it just for the praise of men. And still, while that's good that they learn to work, they haven't learned to obey this commandment if they're just doing it for the praise of men. Because the attitude is wrong. Even though we'd say it's not a bad attitude, but their purpose is not to love God with their strength, not to love God with their heart in that. We're to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Let's turn back to Mark chapter 12 and just read that once more. I've quoted it several times. Mark chapter 12 and verse 29. Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments." The first commandment, the most important commandment. Not the first one given, but the most important one. If you don't teach your children anything else, teach them this. This is right in the context of having a home that is dominated and permeated with the Word of God. In Deuteronomy, when you walk by the way, when you sit down, when you rise up, when you go to bed, on the post of your house, on the gate, the house is permeated with the Word of God. The commandment that comes right before that is the most important one. The one that you should make sure you've taught first before anything else is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Love Him with your spirit. Love Him in your attitude. Love Him with the earthly part of yourself, the things of this world. Love Him with your mind and your intellect, and love Him with your strength. We need to learn these things ourselves. If we'd learn them ourselves, we'd be much happier Christians. And we need to take and use these things and apply them to our families so that our children can grow up to be happy, productive Christians. We won't be happy Christians unless we're loving the Lord. If we're selfish, if we love ourselves, and we love the world, and we're lazy, we don't serve at all, we're not going to be productive, and we're not going to be happy as Christians. So let's remember this ourselves, and let's teach our children, love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for this one commandment. And we pray that as we've considered it, You would help us to have a better understanding of what the Word of God says and how it applies to each of our lives. And then also, Lord, show us how we can use this in our children's lives to help them become the Christians that they ought to be. We pray You'd use this message in our families' lives and bless the rest of this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.